Thank you so much for the presence of everyone here. Today, I am so honored and happy. And right in this moment, actually, I feel a bit touched and emotional because you remember that from how we, the Association for Women, Entrepreneurs and Executives, we actually have the honor to welcome you before the pandemic.
Yes.
Actually, we talk about the restful mind in the first year.
Yeah.
And then in the next year, we discuss how emotional intelligence.
Yes. Yes.
Can be helpful.
Yep.
For people doing business.
Yes.
And then there were the 3 years of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, such a joyful reunion. Yeah,
that's true.
For your eminence and
yes,
on
all
the rest.
Of us. Yeah.
Yeah. We have this chance to
true.
Meet and all.
It's a blessing to be alive, you know, to come out after such a difficult moment for the world and to meet each other again. It's a great blessing.
I can see how emotional His Eminence is right now too.
Yeah.
I think after the pandemic and after such a difficult time for the whole world, we need some positivity.
Yes.
And something that we can hold on to or rely so that we can continue forward. So I would start with a very simple question. What brings Your Eminence joy every day?
I think joy that comes from having a sense of, you know, what you are doing, whether it's a meditation, whether it's a prayer, whether it's talking, whether it's meeting people. If whatever we are doing has some beneficial impact on another being. And I think that's a great joy. Recently, I was talking with someone very important, CEO, you know, in one of the countries, Asian, very developed country. And he was talking about he wants to retire. But at the same time, he was worried that if he retires, he will not be relevant anymore. You know, no longer useful, no longer needed. So I was sharing with him that from my experience, in order for us to be relevant to others and have the joy from being relevant depends really on our sense of caring. If you have a sense of caring, then whatever you do, even if it's a simple conversation or as a business leader or employee, as a manager, or even, you know, just saying kind word to someone who is feeling down, so many ways to be relevant. And the relevance comes from sense of sincere caring. I think that's the one. And secondly, I was sharing that sometimes I'm sitting in the, you know, in the Himalaya, in the cave. So in one way, we are far from everybody. You know, in the cave, you have to walk 3 days to reach up to the cave. There's no car, no electricity. But then, even in the cave, when you understand the difficulty many people are going through, and when you're able to send even a prayer, dedication, from depth of your heart, you feel so much of joy, sad, but also joyful and meaningful.
Is that the practice of metta or compassion in Buddhism?
Yes, you know, all of the terms that we use are basically terms, you know. Metta is a Sanskrit word. Mm-hmm. English, we use loving compassion. Vietnamese must have a different term. I think the, you know, in the corporate world, must be relevancy.
It's very interesting
that
we don't need to be so attached to a word
as
long as it comes from our heart.
Exactly.
The sincerity of what we do to other people.
Exactly, you know. I think if you have sincerity in any profession, in any capacity, you will always be relevant. You will always have impact, you know, and that will give you a lot of joy in life.
In normal life, people would say religion or Buddhism or spirituality is not relevant to business. Business is difficult, challenging, competitive. And I know that it is such a like limited perception of what business is about. Business is a lot more than that. But somehow when we face challenges or difficulty, we just want to survive. We just want to overcome what is in front of us. Is there any way that business people, especially after the pandemic, can open their perception of how we can better do business, especially looking at the global crisis?
Directly, if you look, it's true, there's no relevance to the business world. But if you go beyond the religion and try to understand the religion, where there's a chanting, you know, going to temple, meditating, is just a method. Method to understand yourself, understand your mind, understand the minds of others, transform your mind. Then you're understanding spirituality. And that is key to everything. Not only business, even government, administration, everything. Because at the end of the day, business is nothing but interaction between you and other people's mind. You know, what you're selling is consumed by the mind of other beings. What they, you know, and what they're giving is also received, is also consumed by you. Is a business is actually nothing but mental interaction. Right? If you take away the physical part. That's why you can't sell anything to a dead person.
You know, in difficult times, a business leaders always have certain priorities. I speak on behalf of the people that I know that had a lot of difficulties, even though they know that to do the right things, you have to do this and not doing that, or you have to increase doing this and decrease doing that. But it still is not a decision they can make right now. How would you advise the people who come to ask you, like, I know the right thing to do, but I cannot make that decision right now? How do we support or help these people so that they are stronger to make the right decision?
I can understand that in difficult situations, not only in business, but in all aspects of life, we all like shortcuts. But we all know that shortcuts may be good, but also there's a heavy price to pay. Whatever shortcuts we have gone through, I think we have paid a price, all of us. It is true that if you do business in a more combined with a more spiritual, more holistic way, it may take longer for you to build your business, your brand. But it's also true that you will have a workforce, employees that are loyal to you, competent to you, who also feel part of the company. And you will also have a client base that is 100% trust in you, who know that you are someone who wants profit, but who also wants to deliver, you know, something that's beneficial to the customer. And I have met many business leaders, most of the very successful business leaders, they actually have a lot of integrity. They have a lot of, you know, value. Their company has value. They themselves have a lot of value, integrity and discipline. When I was young, I used to think, oh, all the successful business people, they must be doing a lot of crooked things. But now that I have traveled, I have met most of the many successful business people, they actually, how ones who have been successful for a long time, they have a lot of integrity. Maybe it's a religious kind of influence, or maybe their own, but they do have integrity. And those are the business that usually last long.
Is there any like standard or set of values or qualities that Your Eminence could say a business leaders of modern times should have in order to be successful and also sustain their business?
When I look at anyone or anything that is successful, at first it looks like that person was successful because they got a very good idea. But I think we forget to think that, why was that idea good? Because it fulfilled a need in other people, a need, something that they needed, which they didn't have. When you can do something that fulfilled that need, then your business was successful. Sometimes when I meet my friends who are doing, you know, businesses, I just jokingly tell, they tell me, oh, they've made this and that product and it's not selling. Then I am telling them, when you make your product, do you make product and you want them to buy? Or do you make product that people need and then you make it? You know? And many times my friends tell me, they made whatever they wanted and they want you to buy what I made because I want to be successful. Which I don't think it works, you know. I will be successful when I can do something to serve you. Behind every idea, there is a moment where that person had a thought about other people, what they want, what they need, how I can make their life a little better. Behind every good idea, I feel there is some amount of selflessness.
Mm. So spark. Integrity, selflessness, yeah. Any other qualities or traits for modern leaders?
Most important, actually, for a leader, the question is, you are doing this company, you know, making this company, having this employee, you are going into this direction. Where are you going? Which direction? And after you reach your destination, how is the life going to be for you, for your employee, for the world?
I just remember that when I have a chance to work with a business owner or leader or managers, they always say that I understand all of that. But you know, every day when I wake up, time just passed me by. I have this and this and this and that to do, and by the time I get home, I'm tired. And these questions that Your Eminence just says are the kinds of deep questions that they really need to give them time and space, and even being with, like, in the presence of spiritual people so that they have this depth that they can reach. Is there a way for the people who are still living their life and work and having very limited time to have a practice for themselves, to cultivate these quality and traits for themselves?
One of the most important thing to reflect is we all have very limited amount of life in this world. Every year we only have 365 days, 12 months. So within these, you know, 12 months, or within whatever life you have already spent, I think we have to ask ourselves, what was our priorities? It can be a spiritual, for your wisdom, peace of mind, clarity. Was it your priority? Or was it on your last, or maybe not at all in the priority? Was it your health? Was it your family? Was it your career? You know, what was your priority? And having that priority, how has it been for you in this life right now? You know, having career as a priority, has it served you well or not?
So in other words, it's very important for us to give ourselves this time
to reflect.
To reflect. Like, yeah, having this habit, yeah, of doing reflection.
Yes.
And not just going forward and moving.
Yes, mindlessly.
Yeah.
Because if you reflect, good thing about reflection is not to give you regret. Reflection, some people don't like to reflect because they feel that it brings back a lot of things which they don't want to think about. But then they forget that when you reflect, it also teaches you how to change your future.
I want to ask Your Eminence another question, which is very human and personal. Is there anything that keeps Your Eminence awake at night?
Oh, not really. I sleep very well.
So why I ask that question is because, like a normal person, every day we witness things, good or bad.
Yes, yes.
We go through life incidents, good or bad, up or down. And whatever happened, if it's good, maybe we can sleep. But if it's not as good, then our mind keep running on. We try to solve it.
Yes.
We keep thinking what would happen if we didn't do this, or tomorrow we need to do something. And our mind just keep running and running.
That's true. That's true.
And even if we care for others, we care for others so much, we cannot sleep either. So what do we do?
I wouldn't say that, you know, there are things which keeps me awake, but I definitely see, you know, in life, many ups and downs in all aspects of life, you know, be it myself or be it everybody, for sure. I also understand that our inability to face the ups and downs of life is due to our not giving priority to our mental health, you know, to our spirituality. That's why I feel that in a life, you know, we have to know our priorities. You know, if you are in a life where your career is doing very well, but your family is in a big problem, that means that you have sacrificed too much of your family for the sake of your career. If your career is well, everything is well, but your mind is not at peace, mind cannot handle the ups and downs, that means we have not given importance to mental health or spirituality. And mental health is not something that you can have when you are going through difficulty. It's like, you know, you have gone to the emergency room and now you want to start exercising, you know, it's a little bit late. So that's why I think that daily, be it spiritual practice or mindfulness, whatever, is very much needed.
So the advice for us is to keep or build or have a regular practice every day.
Yes.
And what form or what practices could Your Eminence recommend?
Firstly, the most basic and most important is to find a way to bring the mind to the present. You know, whatever. Some they do breathing meditation, some drinking tea. You know, some just look into the sky and they just a flower and just keep their mind on the flower maybe for 5, 10, 15 minutes, you know.
Your Eminence have been to Ho Chi Minh City and other cities of Vietnam.
Yeah.
A lot of traffic.
Yeah.
What can we do in the traffic? We spend a lot of time on the road as well.
Focus on the road.
I just give it as a context, you know.
Yeah, yeah,
there's a
yeah.
lot of noises. Busy life, a lot of things that we do.
But in a way, meditation should be like that. You know, meditation, sometimes we like to do meditation in a peaceful environment, but sometimes we should do meditation in a challenging environment. You know, even there's a lot of noise, a lot of traffic, if you can learn to keep your mind calm, you know. So I think similarly in a life, if we are going to our destination because we know why we are going there, you know, I want to be successful because with my success, I want to do something for the world, for my country, for my employee, you know, that is your goal. That's you, that's what you do. You have a clear goal. But if our goal is usually for competition, for jealousy, and the same like taking over, you know. You take over another car, another company. Then there's another company, then another company. You know, your whole life is just taking over and there's no end to it.
Have Your Eminence ever heard of the infinite game?
No.
If we think of whatever we are doing, whether it's business or it's our life or it's our relationship, and we think it's like a game, then there is a limit time in it, like in a football game, for example, you only have 90 minutes. But if we don't think of what we do has a time limit, you know, it's just going on, you know, infinitely, then the purpose of us doing whatever we do is to stay and enjoy what we are doing for as long as we are still in the game. Could you have a kind of vow that would give you this much convictions to really be in this life and continue the beautiful life that we all have?
There are a lot of things we can learn from the pandemic. And I think the most important thing we can learn from pandemic is impermanence. And we thought we couldn't survive without traveling, without doing so many things. But we survived, at least the lucky ones, you know? And now, somehow the pandemic seems like a dream. Almost like, you know, it never, you know, happened. You know, like so unreal. But then life is also like that, you know. No matter what success you have achieved, what the wonderful things you have done, if you look back, it is like it never happened. All the past experiences, success, failure, sweet moments, sad moments, it's like it never really happened. When you look back, it's just a memory. So that is why I think that going forward, success, not for the sake of success, but for the sake success, for the sake of having an impact in this world and making it more beautiful, and also realizing that, you know, you are impermanent, like you said, but the game, you know, what you are doing shall continue. I think this is a very good concept.
Did Your Eminence realize something that you didn't realize before?
Yes, definitely, you know, many things. One is anything can happen in this world. Second thing is, if your mind is okay, everything's okay. During the pandemic, so many things we used to do, usually we couldn't do. In a way, it was difficult. But in a way, when you learn to adjust your mind and be happy to be in one place or even in one room, you know, during the lockdowns, once you get used to it, you make your routine, you are okay. You thought you needed to do so many things, you need to travel so many places, you need food from America to European to, you know, you needed wine from the France or this from that, without that I can't survive. You did, you couldn't get during certain times, it's okay. So to be okay is more to do with the mind rather than a place or a location. No, I think that is something. And I think another important thing is anything can happen. Everything's impermanent. That's why I, for myself, I say that we belong to a 1,000-year-old Drupa tradition. No? So even in terms of if I have to define my work as a goal or a success, it's never ending. No? Because we look after more than 1,000 monasteries. Our job is to, you know, try our best to share the knowledge and liberate all sentient beings. Even if we work whole life, it is never ending. So what we have to do is we have to recognize this, recognize the impermanent nature of the life, know that you can't do everything. So we have to learn to pass down our work, our duty to the, you know, next generation of spiritual masters, leaders, monks, nuns, right? So that letting go, preparing the next generation is also, I think, you know, a very important lesson.
While I listen to Your Eminence, I have this. If we think at the whole world as one person, people who are in life creating services and products, like doing business in general, they are like the hands of the body. And people who are doing on the spirituality, on the practices, on the sharing, are like the head.
Or the heart.
And the heart of the body.
Yes.
Then if this whole body is in alignment and then doing everything together, like as one unit or one entity, then maybe we together can find a way to help our planet or our earth
definitely
sustain and
definitely
our human being or humankind evolve.
Oh, definitely. I always feel that even spiritual community should respect the business community, should respect the political leaders, should respect the cab driver also, you know. Imagine if everybody is a monk and nun. There's no cab driver. There's no farmer. There's no doctor. There's no electricity. You know, we'll all be in a great difficulty. So I think we all have to respect every profession. We have to respect the political leader, business people, everything. Only thing from our spiritual community we have to request and encourage is that they also have a compassionate heart and a heart that also has a wisdom to know the consequences of their actions and their choices. You know, to remind them of compassion and wisdom is the duty of a spiritual leader, monks and nuns and all people, but also to respect every profession. And from this, I think the leaders and business leaders, everybody should also appreciate the spiritual community, because spiritual community gives the direction, you know, direction that is sincere, direction that is not only for oneself but inclusive for everybody, so that what your energy in your business, your politics, your leader, or whatever energy you are putting is beneficial to everybody, you know.
And the way Your Eminence just shared also make me realize that that's why Your Eminence and all the wonderful monks from Bhutan travel this long way to Vietnam and maybe other countries in the world, so that this reunion or alignment can happen between all the people in the world. Doesn't matter what roles we play. When we do these kinds of recording for the podcast, there are many young people listen to it. And the young people nowadays, they're like in between. They didn't know what happened before. They're facing or just back through a really horrible pandemic. And then they look forward into the future. And there's so many turbulences and things that are still happening in the world. Is there anything Your Eminence can share or can advise people who are still in the middle? They're not yet. They may be in their 20s and still having this question, what I'm going to do with my life.
Don't worry too much.
No worry.
Don't worry too much, you know. Because in the 21st century, sometimes we tend to worry too much about what's happening far away. We worry too much about what's happening in that country, this country. Of course, to some extent, knowledge is good. But what is even more important is what are you doing in your world?
Here.
Here.
Your community. You
know, in your country.
Your country.
In your state, in your colleagues, in your company, in your family, in your neighborhood. What are you doing to make it better?
Mm.
No? Make your environmentally better. What are you doing? Climate change, what are you doing? For there to be crime-free, what are you doing? To alleviate poverty, what you are doing? In order for there to be harmony and trust in your community, what are you contributing? At least in your home, you can make a change. What's happening in Russia, Ukraine, maybe you can't do much. And maybe, you know, doing what you're doing here may be more important, because this is your world and you creating a beautiful world in your area also has collectively made the world better, even though it might not come in the CNN, you know, that this house is so happy and harmonious, but you have done a you know, great service to the world.
Does Your Eminence see the changes, the shift in the way women play a role in society nowadays?
Nowadays, there's much more, I think, respect for gender equality. And I like the word gender equality because it represents that both the men and women have equal, you know, capacity. Buddha also, in the sutra, he said, Bhikshu, Bhikshuni, Mahayana, we say, Bodhisattva, Sattvi, Vajrayana, we say, Yogi and female, Yogini, Buddha recognized the potential in both of male and female equally. So I think that the sort of recognition, the respect that we can see, you know, in the women, in the society, is very positive news. That's why I think in the Vajrayana, one of the most favorite Buddha is female Tara. You know, and I think Tara was, I think, the first Buddha to speak about women's rights. Because she said that, "I always want to be Buddha in a female form, to encourage female that everybody can become Buddha." So I think it's very positive. And I think we should be encouraging that in the sense of respect. Not one is better than another, but that we are equally good, equally respected, you know.
Is there any plans that Your Eminence have in the near future?
So one of the very interesting thing and exciting thing is in the Himalayan region of Ladakh, we are planting 1 million tree.
1 million trees?
Yeah. We already planted 150,000 tree. Now we are planting another 850,000 tree plantation initiative starting in the month of May. And Himalaya is very important because Himalaya is the water source to more than a billion people. So we are calling this initiative Tree for Life because water is life.
Trees, not just in Ladakh, because yes, that's on the rest of us.
Yes, you know. What I'm trying to message is that in our own community, maybe in Vietnam also, you know, I do not know the environmental situation, but if the forest deforestation is a big problem, maybe, you know, something like that. All of us, I wish that we can all be inspiration to each other. Whenever I come to Vietnam, I always feel encouraged and inspired by the compassion of the Vietnamese people, the kindness, the gentility, not out of fear, but out of strength, you know. Vietnamese people are compassionate because of strength, because they are strong. They know they don't have to be act, you know, fearful, act dangerously, because they know they are strong. That's why they have confidence. And compassion comes from the confidence. You know?
Compassion comes from confidence.
Yes.
And maybe
aggression comes from fear. That is what I have learned and appreciate in the Vietnamese, from the Vietnamese people.
Thank you so much for your encouragement. A lot of us, when we learn about Your Eminence, we know that Your Eminence is a Rinpoche who reincarnated into this life. And there's a mission, or there is a calling for Your Eminence to return or to continue or to have a vow which is very deep from within. Can you share with us what is your biggest vow in this life as of now?
One of the biggest, my aspiration is to follow the footsteps of my guru, the Gyawang Drukpa. And one day Gyawang Drukpa, when he was giving teaching, he shed tears. Some people make an aspiration to go to Amitabha, Azida, Pure Land. Some people make many aspirations. But for him, he only has one aspiration, that in all his life, whether he comes back in the form of Rinpoche, man, woman, business leader, political leader, he wants to have so much of positive impact in this difficult world. And the world is going through so many difficulties, climate changes, gender equality, you know, so many difficulties. And His Holiness wishes to be able to come back and do so much. And even though Holiness has done a lot already, you know, for example, having the Kung Fu nuns before in the Himalayan region, nuns were not that much respected. Monks were much more respected. But His Holiness lifted the nuns, taught them how to speak, how to walk, you know, confidently. All the sacred teachings which were not given before, Holiness gave it to them. So that it had a ripple effect that everybody also had to respect the nuns. Now they've become, you know, equally respected as the monks in Himalayan region. And that's a huge impact. Still, His Holiness feels that he didn't do much. I remember Holiness told me many times that one of the activities of Holiness is to help the animals. No? Because they are voiceless. In Ladakh, we have a Live to Rescue. All the animals that are accident, hungry, sick, are given food, shelter, medicine. And I've seen His Holiness the most happy when we talk about helping animals. If I have to inform my guru, we have built one big pagoda. Holiness will, oh, okay, very good, congratulations. But if I tell my guru, oh, we have helped so many animals, so many beings today, planted so many trees, helped climate change, my guru will smile like a, you know, like a full sun, you know. Because at the end of the day, even monastery, pagoda is to benefit the sentient being. You know? So this is my aspiration to fulfill and follow the footsteps of my great masters.
I already feel so full and inspired, honored, and also the last thing I heard from Your Eminence, I have this image of people shifting their decision making from the head to the heart. Mm. And if we have the center of our heart is where we make decision, and how when we do something, we know whether or not we have created an impact, is to really get in touch and feel whether your heart is touched and you have this joy on your face and you see the joy,
yes,
in the face of others.
Yes.
Then you know that you have created something meaningful in this life. On behalf of all the audience who have been listening to this recording, this podcast, and also on the people who today have a chance to meet His Eminence in Vietnam, I think we're so blessed to be in your presence and also to have this opportunity to practice the Dharma and maybe to have a moment to reflect on our life and what we should do in the near future. Thank you so much for the wonderful conversation today.